All right, well, good to have you here as we continue the conversations. We've talked a lot about candidates, candidate quality. People reject that some. I don't. I think that when you see Ron Johnson win in Wisconsin, but the far-left Democrat also wins, it tells you something. When you see Governor Kemp win in Georgia by, 9 or 10 points, and Herschel Walker comes up short, tells you something about what's going on. Michael Allen Corbin is here, an 18-year career in the communications and tech industry. Also a Republican candidate for the U.S. House in Georgia District 7. Michael, good to have you here.
Hey, glad to be here, Steve. Appreciate you having me on, and good morning.
Good morning. You know, you say that some polls have found that Georgia voters oppose those runoffs that you guys are so famous for. Sport betting, abortion rights supported by voters. And you believe that the Republican Party has to identify better candidates. And you say they don't like celebrities and sports figures. That's not always true. You do have Senator Tuberville from Alabama. But tell me what you're finding.
Yeah, so what I'm finding is, you know, the general constituents, the voters, are a little bit tired of kind of being forced to vote on, you know, celebrities where, you know, that didn't really happen. I guess you can call Herschel a celebrity. And trust me, I'm a Georgia Bulldog. I went to the University of Georgia. I love Herschel. But kind of given that whole scenario, the entire voting body of the state of Georgia is just kind of tired of seeing a candidate really forced upon you, and it's not really somebody that they can identify with. Now, I can identify with him as a football hero and a legend, but when it comes to being actually in the know of what every, you know, citizen in Georgia, especially the Republicans and conservatives, are dealing with, he doesn't know. And it really hurts when it comes to drumming up, you know, the already existing body from a conservative voter base. And then number two, really trying to pull over anybody that might be, you know, down the middle and thinking, hey, you know, maybe I don't like what's going on with the Republican Party and I'm kind of independent and I want to move over. So I think we're missing the mark. And, you know, to mention your point on the runoffs, there's a runoff fatigue in Georgia. I can tell you that much. In my race in 2022, I got caught up in that. I hated it as a voter prior to that, and I hate it even more now as a candidate. And, you know, hopefully we'll see some legislation within the state house to change that. I'm hopeful, but, you know, things move slowly, and I don't know if we'll see that coming up for 2024.
Yeah, you've been able to get some things done in Georgia that were important to protect voter integrity and so forth and strengthen your voter laws. That was important, but the runoff, where did that come from? It's been there, obviously. We've gotten to hear about it on the national stage a lot in recent years, not for the better. Because if you didn't have a runoff, you wouldn't have a problem because there'd be a Republican sitting in one of those seats, right?
Correct. And you know, I'll kind of give you the history of the runoff, which is it dates way back. And the runoff, it directly hurt me. I'll kind of give you the example of my race. So in the primary, I won 41.3% in the primary, and I was not backed by the local GOP. But within my campaigning, I was seen as the better candidate in a newly redrawn district in the 7th District of Georgia to win against Lucy McBath. Unfortunately, runoffs are not very well advertised when it comes to the congressional level, as they are when it comes to a governor race or obviously congressional. So you're incumbent upon doing that yourself. And the local GOP at that point can pretty much smoke out who they need to smoke out to go and beat you in knowing that it's going to be a low turnout. So we had a 74% voter drop off from the primary to the runoff.
Right.
And what we ended up with is a bad candidate who got crushed by Lucy McBath. So they're bad for our party. They're bad for the state. The roots of it goes back to the old Southern Democrats. They really, in the state legislature, put this in place And it's kind of flip-flop back and forth in terms of what does that number mean that constitutes a runoff. But it was put to primarily ensure that African-American voters had a harder time coming back to the polls. So it really has its roots kind of based in discrimination and racism. And then over the years, that's not really been the case, but it's just kind of hung around. And, you know, it's a good thing to have a majority of the vote saying that this is the right candidate, but there's got to be a better way to do it, and it's got to be changed, because studies alone, and I've done a lot of studies on this, is, you know, we're spending in the 2020, we don't have all the figures in 2022, but in 2020 runoff with Loeffler, Perdue, and
right,
Warnoff.
And Perdue would have won the election if you didn't have to reach that 50% threshold in Georgia, he would have been elected in the first
exactly.
go.
We spent $75 million as a state, taxpayers' money.
So here's my question. We've got about a minute left here. Michael Allen Corbin here with you. How do you get that change? You've got Republicans in charge. Now is the time to do it. How do you get it done? Give me a last word.
It's really going to come down to, and it's being pushed by Raffensperger, and it's being pushed by the voice of public opinion. So we have to continue to get, you know, that type of messaging to our state representatives to make sure that's changed, whether it's the threshold or it's a different type of voting system, instant runoff voting or the like. But people are tired of it here in the state of Georgia, and we got to get that changed, because we're going to get better candidates in, and eventually that's going to lead to us having more victories when it comes November.
Hopefully you get that turned around. I don't disagree with you. Michael Allen, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Have a great day.
You too, my friend. Still to come, Mark Houck, pro-life activist, co-founder, president of the King's Men. The man whose house was raided by a SWAT team in front of his kids because he defended one of his children against a guy that was pro-abortion. We'll tell you about it coming up. Don't go anywhere.